Welcome to our Bible study on Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study on Wednesday evenings at the church in the Fellowship Hall from 5:15 until 6 p.m. As we study our passage about Martha and Mary, it is important that we allow last week's discussion about the Good Samaritan to still echo in our ears. The two stories are complementary to each other and bring an important balance to our life of discipleship. Luke is the only gospel that tells us this story, but in the Gospel of John, we see two different stories of a Martha and Mary, who are sisters, at chapter 11, verses 1 through 20, and at chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And they have a brother, Lazarus, who Jesus raises from the dead. In John's Gospel, the house is in Bethany, which is just outside of Jerusalem. And in chapter 11, verses 1 through 20, Martha goes out to meet Jesus while Mary sits in the house. And in chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Martha serves dinner while Mary is at the feet of Jesus. But in John's story, Mary is anointing the feet of Jesus. In Luke's story, the home is in Galilee. There is no mention of a brother, and Martha is assumed to be the head of the household. To make matters even more confusing, Luke does have a story about a Lazarus in chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. But in Luke's account, Lazarus is part of a parable and is not a brother to Martha and Mary. The similarities between the two Gospels is that each of them say that Martha and Mary are sisters, and both Gospels portray each sister in a similar way. Martha is active and speaks, and Mary is at the feet of Jesus, either listening or anointing. But our focus will be on Luke's story. At chapter 10, verse 38, Martha welcomed him into her home. There is no male head of the household. Martha is portrayed as one of the women who supported Jesus and his mission from their own resources, possibly one of the unnamed women in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. At chapter 10, verse 39, Mary, it is important that we are careful not to confuse this Mary with Mary Magdalene, or with Mary, the mother of Jesus. There are a lot of women named Mary in the New Testament. And in later traditions, a lot of the stories were woven together around one figure, usually Mary Magdalene. But Mary Magdalene has no role in this story. At his feet. Here, Mary violates conventional social code by assuming a role usually reserved for men. At chapter 10, verses 40 and 41, but Martha was distracted with much serving. We read that Martha was distracted with much serving, but nowhere does it say that Martha was serving in the kitchen. Indeed, if she is part of a well-to-do family, she probably had servants in the kitchen. To help us get a better view about where Martha was and what she may have been doing, let's look at that word, serving. The Greek word for serving used here is diakonia. Diakonia means service, usually as a teacher or minister, but it can also mean to serve tables. And its root word is diakonos, which is where we get the word deacon. Diakonos means deacon, minister, or servant. So rather than assume Martha is serving in the kitchen, what if we entertain the idea that Martha was serving as a deacon or church leader? Here, the criticism leveled at Martha is not with her serving, but the fact that she is distracted, in other words, anxious. Understood in this way, The story is not a contrast between service and listening, but between being anxious and being trusting. Martha's work is commendable. Her anxiety and compulsion about it are not. Distracted. The Greek word is perispomai, and is only used here in the New Testament, and it literally means to be pulled from all directions. What are the opposing forces pulling at Martha? What are the opposing forces pulling at our lives? Earlier, at chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus spoke of the seed, that is, the Word of God, that was choked out by thorns. Martha's distraction might put her in this category. Chapter 10, verse 42, many things and one thing. The ancient manuscripts are divided on verse 42, which can be seen in the different ways it is translated. Some say there is need of only one thing. Others say few things are necessary or only one. If the second version is correct, then Jesus is probably telling Martha that she is preparing too many dishes. If the first version is correct, then Jesus is saying that the Word of God, and not food, is the one thing needed, which would also echo the point of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and also elsewhere in the New Testament, that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. How do we put the important things first? Years ago, some of you may have read some books that address this issue, including First Things First by Covey and The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. The intention was to help people determine their priorities and make them priorities in their weekly schedules. Perhaps a better way to get at this is through that well-known theologian Curley, a.k.a. Jack Palance, in the deeply religious movie City Slickers. Ha ha. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. In this case, Jesus' response indicates that the main thing is to love God. Now, there's a couple of contrasts. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha stands over Jesus. A more literal meaning of the Greek word epizetimai in verse 40. While this word can mean to stand near or to stand by, it also carries the idea of to stand or to be over, and even to oppose. There is a sense that Martha is opposing what Jesus and Mary are doing. Mary should be doing something else, namely helping Martha. Mary was listening to Jesus' word or message. Martha speaks to Jesus. Martha presumes to tell Jesus what he should do. Mary lets Jesus tell her what she should do. In conclusion, again, we want to be cautious about easily allegorizing the sisters. Martha, the model of the active and busy Christian worker. Mary, the model of the contemplative and reflective Christian. Such portraits can be overdrawn. If we criticize Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. And if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. Neither the story of the Good Samaritan nor the story of Mary and Martha is complete without the other. There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. The Christian life involves, among other things, a sense of timing, and sometimes timing is everything. Some of you may recall the well-known scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 in the Old Testament. For everything there is a season, and a time and matter under heaven. This concludes our study for this week. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.